Let's pray. Father, we thank you again. Lord, just pray that you would bless this time right now, Father, that you would anoint these words, God, that they would be from you, God, that we are just here to hear something from you and to be moved, and God, that is our goal, God, that we would just get further up and further into who you are, Lord, and that you would just bless this time in your name. Amen. I'm so tempted to bring everyone to the middle section. But who does not want me to do that? You're comfortable, you're kind of settled in. It's warm already, the seat's warm. All right, we'll stay where we are. And I want to thank everyone because I know marriage retreat, you knew there'd not be a lot of people here. Not only that, but raining out. It could be so tempting. Stay in the jammies, you know, let the rain fall and just be cozy. You are here. Thank you. I have a list of those who aren't. Okay, I know who's on the retreat. Aaron and I have in our backyard, we have a tree. We also have a garden, thanks to Tenfold Harvest. But when we first moved into our home about 12 years ago, as a teacher, one of the kids got me a tree for the end of the year gift. It was just this big white planter and just like a little shrub sticking out of it. You know, and at back to school night, I tell them the restaurants I like. I tell them my shirt sizes, you know, for Teacher Appreciation Week. And, you know, that's big stuff. But I was very appreciative of the tree. I didn't even know what kind of tree it was because obviously it was so young still. There was nothing on it. So Aaron and I, when we moved, we had already had the tree for about a year in our other place, and then we moved, and it was still in the planter, and we said, where are we going to put this? And we just, in our backyard, and we just stuck it by our kitchen, and, you know, we'll find a place for it later. And as time went by, and other home projects and different things to do around the house came up, we didn't really worry too much about that tree. And then the day came, you know something, it's starting to grow a little bit. Let's move that tree. Well, we went to lift that tree, and it wasn't budging. Okay? It was not going anywhere. The roots of that tree had gone through the plastic flower pot and into the ground. And it took root where it was. And the bummer is, our kitchen window has a nice view of this green slope, or had a nice view of this green slope. Now it has a nice view of an orange tree, which is kind of nice, but we can't see out of that window at all anymore because of where this tree is. So for at least 3 or 4 years, not only is it growing and impeding our view, but there's no fruit on it. There was nothing happening. Nothing was growing on this tree. And I was kind of getting a little frustrated. I did not like this tree because of what it had done to our view. The kid who gave it to me wasn't the best kid either, so it's reminding me of that. Okay? I'm just kidding. He was a great kid, actually. So finally, after 6, 7 years, we started seeing fruit come on this tree, blossom on this tree. And it has given us, just this last year, I would say, the best oranges. They are so good, the oranges off of this tree. And it was so worth the wait. I'm seeing them hang, and I come home, and Lucy's loving it, and Cade, and they're going out there, and they're picking the oranges. We have this big basket of oranges, and they're really good, ripe, juicy oranges. So I like that tree. Now, we are going to move it one day. I'm going to talk to Tony about that. But that tree, I like it because it has good fruit. It's a good tree. How do I know it is a good tree? I know it is a good tree because it is bearing good fruit. I know that the roots of that tree are in a good place because it is bearing good fruit. And I want to talk about today our walk with the Lord, in that we also should be bearing good fruit. I know you all kind of saw where that was going. That as believers, our lives should have evidence, should be bearing good fruit. There should be fruit in our life. Not the same as the person next to you. We can get into a lot of trouble if we start doing that, comparing fruit. But there should be things that are happening, things that are different now than they were 5, 6, 7, 10, whatever it is, years ago. It is a process that we all go through, and it could take time. Obviously, that tree that we had, it was not bearing fruit, and it was I was thinking it was a bad tree. It's not, it doesn't work. It's broken. It's a broken tree. There's no fruit, but finally, here it is. So I wanted to read, Jesus talks about this quite a bit, about a tree bearing fruit and us being known by our fruit. So in Luke, I'm going to start with Luke chapter 6, 43 through 45. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And Matthew 12, 33 through 35, he talks about it again. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. He is saying that out of what's in the heart is what's coming out. It is a cause and effect. If the heart is evil, the fruit's going to be evil. If the heart has been good, the fruit will be good. And Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. We are known. How do we know what is in our hearts? How do we know if a change has taken place? It's by our fruits. What is that? Our actions, our words, the things we do. Here's a question, and I don't know where I heard this, but it kind of was convicting. It's pretty, we don't have police at the door right now, being a Christian in America. It's pretty, I don't want to say easy, but we can go to church in America. We have a great country in that nobody's arresting us for having Bible studies. We are free to worship God as we please. But I'm going to ask this. What if one day it became illegal to be a Christian in America? If it was illegal to be a Christian in America, here's the question. Would there be, and you were on trial, let's pretend you were on trial for being a Christian in America. Would there be enough evidence in your life, in our life, to convict us of the crime? Would there be enough evidence, witnesses and testimony and Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C, would there be enough evidence to convict you of the crime of being a Christian? And that's the fruit. That is the fruit. So something just to do a check, a little checkup in our hearts. I want to read from a story, which could be in our courtroom drama, where somebody is trying to prove that somebody is guilty of having good fruit and having a clean heart. A story of the Good Samaritan. So it's from Luke chapter 10. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, talking to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. So we see 3 men who were at this, who saw this person who had been beaten up. This is a road from Jericho to Jerusalem that is known for bad things. It's a bad part of town. It was known to be robbed. You were going down that road at your own risk. So it wasn't a surprise that this happened. But we have 3 different men at the scene. A priest, a Levite, who's somebody that works in the temple, and then the Samaritan. The first 2, the priest and the Levite, they would be known as the religious people. I would say, from the outside, they know God. I guarantee you that they knew the law. They were very religious. They probably prayed all the time. They would go to temple. So from the external, you could say, oh yeah, they must definitely have that evidence that we're talking about of somebody who knows God, just from the things that they take part in. But in their hearts, when we see something like this happening, it shows that everything that they were doing was all surface. It was all on the outside. They were very religious. They knew the right answers to the questions. They knew the scriptures. But when it came to their actions, it didn't show up. It was all external evidence. And Jesus talks about that in Matthew 27. To those that have it right on the outside, it looks good. We were driving in today and listening to something on the radio where they talked about, someone referred to saying, I spoke in Christian language. You can call it Christianese. It is its own dialect. You know, I'm not going to get into specifics and examples, but you know it when someone speaks it very well. I've met people that speak Christianese very, very well. Oh, brother, and again, I don't want to say it because we might say those things and I'm not talking about you. Or am I? No, I'm just kidding. But Christianese is its own language, but it's the heart. These guys spoke very well. I'm sure they had all the right answers. But look what happened when they were put to the test. Here's someone who needed help. What did they do? So what Jesus talks to those people that have it right on the outside in Matthew 23:27, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I think these guys would fall, that priest and that Levite would fall into that category. They had all the right stuff. They wore the right clothes. But how do you know? How do we know? We can't look into people's hearts and see if a true conversion has taken place or what's happening. But when something like this happens, it's evidenced by our actions. It was evidenced by their actions that they didn't know God. Their hearts were far from God. I love last week, I didn't really watch it, but I've seen it before. But the Academy Awards, when they have the camera on everybody as they announce the winner, And they announce that winner, and the camera stays on everybody else, and they clap politely. You know, they have that face on. But inside, they are going, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe I lost. You know, but they have that, keep that smile. They wear the smile. But inward, who knows what they're thinking? So it's not having an appearance of righteousness. John 3:18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. In James, James talks about that you will know us. Our faith should be evidenced by what we do. James 2:14. I do have a lot of scripture today, but it's all up here. I'm not even going to give you time to flip through it. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. There are cults out there that take this and they take it out of context and they say, well, this is evidence that, because it goes on and on, it talks about it, that you need works to be saved. It's our works that save us. And that is not what James is saying here if you read it all in context. It is not that we are saved by our works. It's that if we are saved, it will result in works. I will show you my faith. You want to see my faith? Look at what I do. We should be able to say that, but although that can get into pride and all that, but we should see it. We should see it as we did not see it in the two men, the priest and the Levite, but we saw it in the Samaritan, who for every reason should have been the one not to go over and help, because they were enemies. Samaritans and Jews did not mix at that time. They were enemies. But yet he saw past all of that and went and loved this person and showed true love and goodness for what God would want us to do. So, what is this fruit? What should this fruit look like then? Because we could, again, say all the right things and go to church all the time and we do this, but that's all good. And we need to be doing those things. We should be doing those things, and that is an evidence. But we're not here in order to go to heaven. I grew up Roman Catholic, and I think Kevin shared that if you miss church, it's a mortal sin. You can't miss. You know, you cannot miss church. So they're going to church in order to go to heaven. They're doing the sacraments in order to go to heaven. But they're pulling the cart before the horse. We're going to heaven. So therefore, I want to go to church. I want to be here. I want to be with other believers because they know the God that I know, and we can worship together and pray and talk and carry each other's burdens. It's an evidence of what's already taken place. It's because I'm already going to heaven that this evidence shows up. So in Galatians, Paul talks about what is this fruit? How should this evidence of a changed heart, what does it come out in? What does it look like? So in Galatians 5, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, there's that word, fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So that is the true fruit that should be evidence in our lives. So let's be fruit inspectors. I cannot judge a tree, and God, we're not called to judge at all. And I cannot look into people's hearts. And the thing is, but we are allowed to be fruit inspectors. And I think a lot of us are good at being fruit inspectors, but we're really good at inspecting the fruit of other people. I think some of us are better at that. And there's time and place for that. That could be good. I talked about this a few weeks ago. If you've invited someone into your life for that purpose, to call you out on things, that's a good thing. We should have people that are inspecting our fruit. And I would encourage each one of us to go find a fruit inspector and to call us out and say, hey, you've been, you know, acting like a knucklehead or whatever it is. Have those people in your life that can pour into you and let them know what they see. But I also think it's important to inspect, take a moment and check our own hearts and inspect our own fruit. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Well, I came down in Angel Stadium, Greg Laurie, I went down there, I said the prayer. Of course, nothing's changed in the 20 years, but I said it. But there should be change, there should be fruit. So I like this. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Not to cause doubts, but a real honest introspection. That's what I love about communion monthly. That's the one thing I do love about a Roman Catholic church. I love that they do it every week. Some do it every day. There's different reasons behind it. But I think that's so important. I love stopping and reminding and calling to mind the places where I have fallen. I have messed up. And asking for forgiveness and a time to check my fruit. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? If Jesus is in us, we should see some things that have changed. So, to inspect our own fruit. It comes out. We see it. And it can be very disheartening sometimes. So many times during the day I fail these tests. You know, I'm a different person behind the wheel of a car. Ask Aaron. If I'm late, if I'm running late, I'm not the same guy. The linebacker comes out. I played linebacker. Well. No. just checking. So when things happen in our life, I like the picture of when we're to know what's in the cup that we're holding, we get bumped. What spills out? What spills out of that cup when we get bumped? And that God will show us that. He will bring experiences in our lives. Things will happen. People, coworkers that constantly are bumping us. And God's revealing these things in our hearts and areas and situations. How do we react to that? Oh, I didn't react to that the way I would have hoped. So things, little, I don't want to call them tests, but just kind of reality checks of where we are and what is happening. Because those fruits that Jesus talks about, that Paul talked about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, you can't muster those up. Do you know that? We can go to church. We can say, I'm not missing church. I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. That's all things that we can do. But to truly love our enemies, because God isn't saying be nice to your enemies. He's saying love them. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, joy, peace. Those are things that we cannot pull up our bootstraps and say, I'm really going to do this time. That's my New Year's resolution. My New Year's resolution are the fruits of the Spirit. Because you can't muster those up. Just like a tree that is constantly producing sour fruit, you can chop the fruit down every harvest, but it's going to be sour again. Because the problem is what? It's in the roots. That tree needs to be re-sown, plowed up. There needs to be a heart change in us to produce these. And we cannot do that by ourselves. So we can give it the college try, but I always fail. Oh, I did it again. I might be able to go longer without losing my temper. Oh, failed again. So we try harder. I think God is pleased by our efforts, but I really think he's even more pleased when we come to the end of ourselves and give up. And we just say, I can't do that. But that is a crucial moment right there. Because do you give up and just forget the whole thing? Or do we give up and say, help me. Help me do it. Because that's what he wants us to do. I love watching my kids fiddle with toys and putting things together, and they try and they try and they try, and then they give up and they say, can you help me? And that's where I step in and help, because it's something that, you know, I'm working on independence, obviously, but that point where they say, I need help. God likes us at that point where we need help, because gentleness, kindness, goodness, peace, joy, that's not New Year's resolution stuff. Going to the gym is, I can do that. But to produce that fruit, it's a cause effect. So what do we do then? How do I produce that fruit? How do I not lose my temper so quickly behind the wheel? How do I show more patience with that coworker? How do I change that? Because again, giving it the college try has not worked. I've been doing it for so long and I keep failing. So I want to go back to that picture of that orange tree and those amazing roots that have plowed through that plastic flower pot into the ground. I think that is the secret of fruit. It's, what are we rooted in? Where are our roots? Who are we? What are we trusting in? Where are we getting our power from? Are we trying it in our own strength, or are we trusting him? John 15, 1 through 11. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I think that right there is the secret. Abide in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. I'm going to stop there. So, abide in him. Hang out with him. Be with him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We cannot produce that fruit. Love. True love. Action. We can be nice. And I think God's pleased with that. We should be nice. But he's asking us to love, and not just our friends, but our enemies. That Samaritan was his enemy. And yet he showed love. So that we can't muster that up. We abide in him. We be with him. We pray to him. We wait on his presence. We know him. We are known by him. Cade, what's your favorite baseball team? The Yankees. Who's your favorite superhero? Superman. Do you want to know why Cade likes the Yankees and likes Superman? Because he has seen me love the Yankees and love Superman. He grew up with it. He has seen his dad love this stuff. And that is contagious. It's contagious. Your kids are going to love what you love. I love it when my class, when political stuff pop up. And they start chiming in, my little fifth graders, about who they like. And all I'm hearing is who their parents like. I know who your dad's voting for. I know who you're voting for. Because they don't know. But they know what their parents know. And they agree with what their parents agree at that age. You know, there comes that time where they might do the opposite. But at that age, they're going to do what their parents do because they love their parents. They're with their parents. They're going to love what their parents love. It's the same principle here. If we know Jesus, if we love Jesus, if we hang out with Jesus, we're going to love what he loves. He's going to change our hearts. And we're going to get on the same page with him. I think that's the best part of prayer. Not that it changes God, but it changes us. He changes us in prayer. It's not that we're getting him conformed to my will in that prayer. It's he's conforming us to his will in that prayer. He's changing us when we pray. And that is where that fruit is produced. It's not just the supplication prayer where we're praying for, it's God changing our hearts. So abide with him. It's something we can do, something we need to do to produce fruit. Abide with him. Also, let him work in our hearts. I've told people that there are days, there are times in my life where I walk on my heels, if that makes sense. And I mean physically. I take deep breaths, and I literally lean back as I'm walking sometimes, like when I'm, depending on what's going on in my mind. And I'm physically letting God go before me, if that makes sense. I'm taking a deep breath and letting God, I'm leaning back. If you see me, why are you leaning back? You wouldn't say that, it's not that obvious. But I'm trusting God to go before me. I'm trusting God to have his way. If that anger, that nervousness, that fear, whatever it is, step back and let him go before me. Let his spirit be led by the Spirit. I think that's what being led by the Spirit kind of is. In practical means, be led by the Spirit. You will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Take that. Let him work in you. Let him work at that spot. Instead of, I'm going to grit my teeth and clench my fists. No, I'm going to step back and let him work in our hearts. In our lives, obviously, in the external things, but inwardly as well. Get out of his way. Let him work. Be patient. This takes time. It took a long time for that tree to produce fruit, those oranges. It did years. And I was doubting the tree. I was doubting the roots. But here it is, and they're so good. And they are so worth the wait. So be patient. It takes time. But he is faithful. On Philippians says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it, will be faithful to complete it. But it's God working. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you to produce that fruit. A movie about 15 years ago, Jerry Maguire, and one of the famous things that Tom Cruise says is, help me help you, right? Help me help you. I think God might be saying that to us. Not that he needs our help, but he's saying, let me help you. We're not alone. He is not standing at the edge and just tasting our fruit and saying, nope, not good. As this angry judge who's just off to the side and just make you better do it right. You better do it right. Some people see God like that. And that is not the God who we know. Our God helps us. He gets in the pit with us. He comes alongside of us. He's working in us. That's what separates us from every other religion, is that God is in us, and he's changing us, and he's working, and he is helping us do that. But we need to, again, get out of his way and let him do that. Hebrews 2:18, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, you are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. He is our Father. That's Daddy, is what he's saying there. And that was very radical back then. Calling God Daddy, that intimacy, that's how close he is. And that's how much he is in this with us, this walk, this sanctification process. And it is a process. I love, we don't see it. We don't see the change. James and Ashley are back. Place look a little different to you? A little different. I love it when people visit, Ed and Lynn, where they come in and they visit and they comment on Cade and how much he's changed. Because Aaron and I, we don't see it every day because we see him every day and we don't see those changes. But when someone comes back once every 6 months or once a year, you can really see it. So be patient. God is working in us. And we may not see it day to day to day, but he is working. But let's abide in him. Let's trust him to do that work that only he can do. And Philippians 3:12, and I'll close with this. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He wants us to produce fruit, and it is fruit that only he can produce in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So let's abide in him and trust him. Let him work and watch what he does in and through us. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you know us so intimately, Lord. And Lord, that you are a God, that you don't leave us where we are. And you're not this judge who just stands off to the side, Lord, but you are our helper. God, you have given us your Spirit, who is called the helper, to help us each day in these things, in these areas. So, Lord, I pray that none of us would leave here trying to love, that none of us would leave here trying to have peace, but that we would leave here wanting to abide with you, that we would leave here wanting to sit in your arms and let you change us, and that we would see the fruit, Lord, not that because we're gritting our teeth and making it happen, but because you are doing it in our hearts. You are working in that place that is too deep for us to get to anyway. It's our heart, Lord. We can't get that deep. Only you can. So, Lord, change our hearts. Produce that fruit. We thank you that you have grace for us for when we fail, God. You are there to forgive us daily, every time that we fail, because we do. But your blood covers that. And then you pick us up, and you move in our hearts some more, and you change us, and that each day we're being slowly more and more conformed to the image of your Son, and that we would be producing fruit that you are pleased with. In your name, amen.